Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
July 15th, 2008, The Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, Photoshop Layers versus Adobe Camera Raw. Welcome back to another Digital Story. I'm going to talk a little bit about software today. Seems like there's always something in software to talk about. Things are changing so quickly in our photography landscape. But I want to tackle one of the foundations of modern-day Photoshop, which is layers. Layers are a very interesting and one of the more powerful aspects of Photoshop. Now, if you haven't been using layers, and believe me, if you're a photographer, you're in big company here because a lot of photographers aren't using layers right now. But if you haven't used layers, I'm going to tell you just a little bit about them and then maybe talk a little bit about another way to go for the bulk of your images. So, the thing about layers that's very cool is you can open up an image from your digital camera, and it's at that point, it's a flattened image, just one layer, and if you were to do something like levels adjustment on that image, then you change those pixels, you save it out as maybe another file name, and you still have a flattened image. The thing about it is if you go back to work on that image again, you sort of start all over. I mean, your previous adjustment's there, but you don't really get to see it, and you can't really tweak it, and you really can't turn it off and on. So you're sort of, once you flattened an image or left it as flat, then that's that. That's pretty good. Leave it flat, and that's that. There's a new tagline for my next book, right? So then along came layers a while ago. And the thing about a layer is that you have an image that you open up right out of your digital camera. You create an adjustment layer for it, let's say a levels control. And then you have sort of like this sandwich. And you have your regular part of your image, which would be the center of the sandwich, right? That's what you started with. And then you have this delicious piece of bread on top of it. And that could be your adjustment layer. And the nice thing about that is that you can make all sorts of changes to your image. And it's not actually changing the base of the image. In other words, the middle of the sandwich remains exactly how it was when you first got it. But you can add mustard, you can add mayonnaise. And then if you change your mind, you can take off the mustard, take off the mayonnaise, put on some relish, do whatever you want. Even after you save the image, you can go back to it over and over again and play around with it. And you can always, kind of improve it or make it worse. It's up to you. But you always have the option to work on the image as much as you want. And you can create basically as many layers as you want, too. So if you're kind of a crazy, obsessed Photoshop kind of dude, you can have an image that has 20 or 30 layers to it. Everything adjusts. Levels and curves and, create sharpening layers and on and on and on. Now, there are some downsides to layers too. And one of the biggest ones is that a lot of times people just don't feel comfortable using them, even after all this time. When I'm teaching a Photoshop workshop or a Lightroom workshop that has some Photoshop in it or however it may be, I'm surprised at how many photographers, when I ask them, are using layers, and sometimes only a third of the class raise their hands. And I mean, we're not talking about point and shoot types here. We're talking about people who actually really like photography and pursue it, have digital SLRs and all that sort of stuff. And I ask them, well, why not? Well, I don't really understand layers. I'm not really sure I feel in control when I use layers. I don't really understand the masking part of layers. The files get too big. There's all sorts of reasons. And some of them are very legit, especially the file size thing, which is one of the aspects of layers I'm going to tackle today. So, my thinking is, you know, if Photoshop is your thing, right, and if you're only going to use Photoshop and none of the tools with it or none of the photo management applications that augment Photoshop, such as Lightroom or Aperture, then you kind of have to learn layers. However, I have something that I want to propose here for you. And this is for those of you who really like layers. I want you to consider this. And for those of you who have delayed getting involved with layers for various reasons, I think I have some salvation for you. And it really has to do with the Photoshop workflow that uses Adobe Camera Raw. And for the moment, I'm just going to set Lightroom aside. I'm just going to set Aperture aside. We're not going to talk about them for a moment. We've talked about them a lot. We know how good they are. But as good as they are, some folks aren't quite ready to do that. So let's just talk about what comes with Photoshop, which is Photoshop Photo Downloader, which is, you know, get photos from camera, a bridge, Adobe Camera Raw, and of course Photoshop itself. Now, the thing that I like about the workflow where you use Bridge, Adobe Camera Raw for the bulk of your work is because not only is it non-destructive, your changes are saved as metadata instead of actual, you know, big Photoshop files. Not only is it non-destructive, the file sizes are much smaller, especially when you go back to Bridge. So for example, let's say that you have a memory card with 100 photos on it. They're raw files. Let's say they're 12 megabytes each. And you go through and you follow, you know, correct workflow sort of approach to things. And so you do your rating and you end up with 7 photos that you think are pretty good that you want to refine a little bit. Now, let's say that, you know, the sort of things that you have to do are maybe a little bit of color balance, maybe a little bit of exposure adjustment, maybe increase the vibrancy a little bit, you know, things like that. Well, sometimes what people do at this point is they go straight into Photoshop and they either work on the flattened image itself and save it out as another image, which then creates, you know, at least a file that's, you know, 12 megapixels or 12 megabytes or bigger. Or if they're sort of savvy with Photoshop, they may create adjustment layers for those 7 photos. But every time you add an adjustment layer, you're basically, you know, duplicating the photo. So, for instance, normally when I work in layers, I'll create, you know, 3 or 4 or 5. And so my 12 megabyte file becomes 96 megabytes pretty fast. And almost always does it get up to that level. So that's quite a difference. And then, of course, you know, I have to save it as a Photoshop file if I want to go back and make possible adjustments to those layers later on. And then if I want to flatten it and save it out as a JPEG, then I'm creating another version of it. So there's like a lot of things to sort of keep track of. And maybe this is why some people get turned off to layers. Now, instead of doing that, instead of opening those 7 photos up in Photoshop, creating layered documents or doing whatever you do, do this instead. Really get to know Adobe Camera Raw. First of all, it's much more intuitive than Photoshop, and it's definitely more intuitive than working with adjustment layers. You sit there and you move a slider on exposure, you move it one way and the thing gets brighter, and you move it another way and the thing gets darker. I mean, how photographer is that, right? So let's say that you had to do exposure and maybe a little vibrancy, a little vibrance, and maybe a little sharpening. And that's all they really needed. You already took good photos and you just want to make them look better. Well, you can do that in Adobe Camera Raw. Let's say that you look at them in Bridge. That's possibly where you photo rated them already. You hit Command R. You open them up in Adobe Camera Raw. You move the exposure slider a little bit. You move the vibrant slider a little bit. You go over to sharpening. You do a little sharpening. And, you know, if all the photos, if all 7 photos were taken under the same lighting condition and so forth, You could open all seven up at once in Adobe Camera Raw, make changes to one of them, and then synchronize your changes with the rest of them so that they all have basically the same adjustments. And of course, if only three of them are the same, you do three, yada, yada, yada. You know how to do that. Now, instead of opening them from the, in Adobe Camera Raw, when you're finished making your adjustments, instead of saying open in Photoshop, right, you just click the Done button. If you click the Done button, then all those changes are associated with your images. They're reflected in Bridge, so that when you look at Bridge, you see the changes that you made. But if you go back and look at your images, the file size is essentially the same as when you started. And better yet, you can reopen those images in Adobe Camera Raw, make further changes, totally non-destructive, you're not hurting anything. Even if they're JPEGs, you're not hurting anything. Click Done again, changes are saved. And, you know, so to test this, crop an image in Adobe Camera Raw, click the Done button, go walk around the room a few times, open it back up in Adobe Camera Raw, click on the crop button, and you'll see that the rest of your image is still there, and you can recrop it a different way. So if you think about this, then you go, you know what? I bet you a lot of the documents, a lot of the images that I'm opening up in Photoshop right now and doing all this rigmarole, possibly I could do the work on, let's say, six of them in Adobe Camera Raw, keep my file sizes down, keep everything nice and organized, not have a bunch of different versions floating around, a layered document and a flattened document and, you know, gosh knows what, lurking on my hard drive where I may or may not ever find it again. I could just do all this in Bridge, in Adobe Camera Raw, nice and clean. Bridge tracks the changes for me. I'm off to the coffee shop to hang out with my friends. Now, maybe of those seven photos, one of them really has potential. You go, man, I have a winner here. I have a 4-star or possibly even a 5-star image here. That's the one you open in Photoshop. Now, you can still do your basic work on it in Adobe Camera Raw. And I would advise that you do as much work as you can in Adobe Camera Raw. Exposure, you know, all that kind of stuff. Why? Because every time you make an adjustment in Adobe Camera Raw, that's one less layer you'll have to create later on in Photoshop, which means you'll be able to keep your file size smaller, even on your great photos, even on your portfolio pieces. So do what you can in Adobe Camera Raw, then click the Open button, open it up in Photoshop, then maybe add an adjustment layer or two to do specific things that you could not do in Adobe Camera Raw. And a lot of times, those specific things for me are working on an individual area. Let's say that I have one image, you know, one part of the image that's blue, a blue sign, and I want to lighten it. It came out a little dark. But I can't use the blue slider in Adobe Camera Raw because I have a blue sky too. So if I move the slider, let's say, to, you know, lighten, then I'll lighten my sky also. That's a situation where, you know, you're going, okay, I've got to open it up in Photoshop. I create a layer. I go ahead and make a mask really quick. And so that I'm just working on the blue sign. And remember, when you create a mask, you know, you start with a white mask, you go to a black brush, and then, you know, you paint, you know, you paint. And remember that black lets the areas show through from the previous image, and white, you know, is your adjustment. So at any rate, so then you do that one little thing that you have to do. Save it out as a separate image, and it's going to be a PSD file. Don't flatten it right away. Keep it because you may want to go back and play that sign again. And then you can either put that back in the same folder as the original And yes, you have a larger image because it's a layered document and so forth, but it was because you had to. It wasn't because you just did it because, you know, that's the way you've been doing it for 3 years. You did it because this time I needed to open it up in Photoshop to do a specific thing. And that's what I'm talking about here. I'm offering up, because I don't want to get didactic here. I'm not a preachy kind of guy. You know that about me. So I want to offer for your consideration, how's that sound, that maybe you rethink, and maybe I learn how to talk, maybe you rethink your workflow a little bit if you're creating a lot of big documents in Photoshop. Now, I'm working on a book on this right now, actually. This is why I feel like I actually halfway know what I'm talking about, because I've really been thinking about a lot. I've been testing it a lot. I've been looking at my own workflow and, you know, just sort of, you know, keeping track of, you know, where areas are that I can improve efficiency. And I have found that this is one of the biggest areas. Now, that being said, there are times that you do need layers, of course, as I mentioned, and I do think you should learn a little bit about them. And if you haven't got to that point yet, it's not like the end of the world, especially if you follow this workflow that I'm talking about right now. You can go really far without doing anything in layers. But at some point, it would be nice to know a little bit on how to use them for that occasional image that requires a little layered work. And quite honestly, if you really want to bone up on them, on how to use them, here's what I suggest. Here's what I do when I need to bone up on stuff like this. I go over to lynda.com, which is, I'm an instructor there also, but one of my good friends, Deke McClellan, is one of the best Photoshop instructors in the business. He has a ton of videos, CS3 videos, on lynda.com. And if you go to like CS3 Beyond the Basics, he shows you how to do layers, and he just takes it from square one. So if you don't know a thing about layers, you can watch this series of movies, and in about 45 minutes, you go, that's what, you know, all the noise is about. And then off you go. And it's not like you're going to use it all the time, but then you do know how to use it when the time comes. So that's my thing right now. Take a look at your workflow. And if you're not using Aperture and you're not using Lightroom, which are also non-destructive, they're like the part of the, you know, the Bridge ACR workflow that I just was talking about. If you're not using them, and if you're creating big files in Photoshop or having a hard time keeping track of your edited files in Photoshop, think about this, give it a whirl, and, you know, if you try it, post a comment to the show notes and let me know how it works out for you, because I think that this is something that can make your post-production just a little bit easier, and a little bit easier these days really adds up fast. Okay, just a couple other things. I want to talk about this month's photo assignment, which is fire. Yeah, we got a hot one going. So think about it. And, you know, it can be metaphorical as well as physical. You have all sorts of options here. And I got a couple grab shots in this week. Thank you very much. And I'm going to be publishing one here real soon. And if you're sitting on one, please send one in. And I published a little review on some Red River paper on the Arctic Polar Luster. If you haven't taken a look at that, look at it, because that's really nice paper. And Red River is one of our great sponsors for the Digital Story. And they have a tile right there on every page in the Digital Story, as does Lowepro, as does ExpoDisc, and as does Photomagico, all great sponsors of Digital Story. They all have tiles there, so if you need to hop over to their site to see what's going on, just click on the tile. It'll take you right over there. And then I got some things coming up, boy. I haven't talked about this much yet, but I'm going to be going to Beijing for the Summer Olympics the first couple weeks of August. So I'm going to be doing some podcast interviews there. I'm going to be taking pictures. I'm going to be helping both Apple and Kodak in the media area. So it's going to be very busy, but it's also going to be a great opportunity. So even though I'm going to come back from Beijing with a lot of stuff, probably the first couple weeks of August might be a little bit light. I'm going to try to line up some content ahead of time, so that you won't miss me too much. I say that with tongue firmly planted in cheek. But I will try to have some stuff lined up ahead of time. And then I'll try to do some updates from there. So I don't know what's going to happen. But I think it's going to be exciting. And definitely you want to keep an eye out for both during the first couple weeks of August and afterwards, because there's going to be a lot of stuff happening on the Digital Story, and hopefully some really exciting stuff. So I think that's going to do it for this week. Layers, good to know, but not the end all to the photographic workflow. Take a look at what I talked about. Make sure you work on your photo assignment. We have to the end of the month to get your photo assignment for FIRE in. Send me some grab shots. Don't forget about our sponsors. And then make sure you go take some pictures. All right, you do that, and then I'll meet you back here next week. Bye-bye now.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, web blogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.